Hey, Dutch Sheets here, and I'd like to have a little conversation about some of the things occurring in our nation right now. Our nation's in a lot of trauma, turmoil, just as we feel we are coming out on the other side of the coronavirus pandemic. We experienced the racial unrest and violence and tragedy that has taken place. So I would like to address that. Probably this won't be a very long podcast. I just want to talk to you from my heart a little. I've waited to say anything about this act of violence against George Floyd and the resulting violence until just the last day or two, for a couple different reasons. First of all, my only influence and ability to change anything in America is through prayer and to influence those who follow me and listen to me. And they are already praying. I'm praying, they're praying. And so they didn't need an alert from me to pray about this. I'm in communication with enough people to know that it's happening. People are praying. I also waited because typically emotional responses do more harm than good. So I try to wait until my and others' emotions settle somewhat before addressing the situation. I've found that wisdom doesn't flow from emotion. In fact, emotions get in the way of wisdom. Healing doesn't flow through the emotions either. Healing affects the emotions, but healing doesn't flow out of emotion, and it certainly does not flow out of anger. Emotions, of which anger and violence are a part of, they were never given to us to guide our decision-making. In fact, I always counsel people, never make a life decision, something that is huge in it or very large in its consequence. Don't make a decision like that when you're emotional. Wait until your emotions have calmed down. And regarding the anger and making decisions or speaking out of anger, James 1 verses 19 and 20 are very appropriate. The New American Standard Translation says, "Let everyone be quick to hear, but slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." I like the Passion Translation very well. It says, "Be quick to listen, but slow to speak. And be slow to become angry, for human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's purpose." Was I angry when I saw this man murdered by the police officer? I was angry. I'm still angry. Did I grieve? Yes. Did I shed tears as I watched it? Yes. Truly appalled. But I have waited to give my response because Scripture wisely teaches us to do so. Racism is evil. I hate all forms of racism. I love all people of all races. And I've tried to demonstrate that over the years. I've spent countless hours in efforts trying to change it in our nation. I've shed countless tears, visited many, many places to pray and repent over past sins in our nation having to do with racism, whether it was with First Nations people or slave entry ports. I've spent a lot of money and a lot of time and much emotional energy to change this. I give regularly to reach people for the, with the gospel of other ethnicities and races, and to help them in their poverty, including the supporting of orphans and other efforts. I give money regularly to reach them. And I've given tens of thousands of my books away to other people of other races and nations. So I feel that I have a record of showing my love for all people. And it's heartfelt. I do want to say to the few ignorant people that have sent me ugly texts and messages because I haven't written a response sooner or sent something like this out sooner to condemn that act of violence, that you don't know me, you don't know my heart, and I feel no need to defend myself. I told you why I wait, and I do wait for those reasons. I also was rebuked for saying that most cops are good and that I don't believe that the majority of them systematically persecute and abuse blacks or Latinos. But I don't believe that. I believe most people in law enforcement are good people. And it's broken my heart to see them treated the way they've been treated the last few days. But just frankly, I loathe all forms of injustice. I believe that's the heart of God. He hates injustice. And I hate all forms of it, whether it's abortion and the racism associated with that. Don't forget that Planned Parenthood was founded by a racist. And by the way, last year, Planned Parenthood killed 675,000 black babies. I despise that. And I speak out against it, and I'll continue to do so. And I'll continue to speak out against those who approve of it and fund it. To me, it's despicable. And I don't care whether that's a political party or an organization. I hate what they do. I don't hate them, but I hate what they do. I despise human trafficking, the injustice of human trafficking. I think it is something to be despised. It angers me. I hate the injustice of poverty, bullying, any and every form of injustice I find despicable. I think all of us should, and I pray against injustice. And I hope you're praying against injustice. I would like to speak a little to the protests that are taking place. I believe in peaceful protests, releasing grief peacefully in that form is good. Statements, making statements to produce change are good. Where there is injustice. There are bad cops, just like there are bad preachers, just like there are bad doctors. There are bad people everywhere. And I believe making a statement about it is good. I have no problem with that. And I would certainly say that most of the protesters over this senseless act of cruelty were and are peaceful, and I support that. But when the violence and the looting began, things changed as far as I'm concerned. There are always evil people out there that try to take advantage of the situation. And I have felt like continuing the protests at that time only enabled the violence. And actually, unknowingly, probably without thinking it through, partnered with the violence. It was the protests, most of whom, as I said, most people wanting to do it peacefully. But those who wanted to become violent took advantage of that. And The sad thing is that at that point, the well-meaning, peaceful protesters also lost credibility because it is all seen as one. And the injustice of things that took place through the rioting and the looting, even the killing and harming innocent people, destroying innocent people's livelihood, driving through clusters of people and clusters of police men and women. That is evil. And so, you know, the wise thing to have done would have been to stop the protesting until those people could be put aside, dealt with, and then make the voices heard again peacefully. I felt like for a day or two, this event could have been used to make incredible difference in our nation in a positive way. I know that most white people, like myself, would have come alongside and still will come alongside the grieving black community and this family, and would have supported anything necessary to move our nation to another point of stopping things like this. And frankly, I believe most mayors, city councils, police chiefs would have been very supportive of taking more looks at how some of this violence and racism creeps into law enforcement. We've made great progress in our nation regarding racism, and it's continuing and will continue. But it's the voice of the bitter and the voice of the angry and the voice of the Antifa type groups that want to change America, want to create this type of division. And so they succeeded in a portion of this time. What could have brought us together has now been used to separate us. And whites who would have been so sympathetic and compassionate and trying to make a difference have now feel like they've been forced to make a stand against the protests and find themselves struggling with actions and having to remind themselves, hey, just like all white people aren't bad, most of us are not racist, most blacks are good and they're not racist, and so none of us should judge the larger majority by the actions of a few. And I refuse to do that. I refuse to judge those that are hurting and grieving by the actions of a few. And I want to encourage my African American, my black brothers and sisters to do the same. Do not judge all by the actions of a few. We can get through this. We will get through this. And we can make this nation better as a result of this. But it can't happen. Of course, it can't happen through violence. Racism in America, let me just speak openly, of course it exists. In every part of our culture and from within every ethnic group, it exists. Some whites are racist. Some blacks are racist. Latinos, First Nations individuals, Asians. There are racists in all of these groups. There are anti-Semitic people in all of these groups. It's so wrong to lump everyone together and say that we are all this way. It's just not true. But I would never be so foolish as to say that racism does not still exist. It does. And I have no doubt that some in law enforcement are racist. As I said a while ago, just as, you know, there are some in every grouping that would be racist. But I also have no doubt that most cops, most people in law enforcement are good people. And harming innocent police officers is just as abhorrent to me as is one of them harming an innocent Black or Latino. You know, I was appalled. I was speechless, appalled, filled with grief when I watched the video of this young man dying under the knee of a police officer. It was abhorrent to me. But it's just as abhorrent to me to see innocent police officers killed. It's abhorrent to me that businesses are looted and burned, and now there will be people this week, next month trying to figure out how they're going to feed their babies because some idiot burned their business. It's abhorrent to me. I think it's so wrong when we lump everything together in this way. Racism exists. Yes, it does. But don't take it out on the police, all the police. They're not all bad. Most of them are good. So all of the violence is evil and unjustified. And I do not accept I don't accept the shallow excuses of when those in authority abuse and harm. I don't accept it. And yes, this man needs to go to prison. I don't accept any of the shallow excuses. But nor do I accept the ridiculous excuse for the rioters that they're just angry and in pain and that makes it okay. No, it doesn't make it okay. So how do we move on? Well, I think we need to remind ourselves, all of us need to remind ourselves that much progress has been made in this nation. Much progress has been made in this area of racism, or, you know, coming together, loving one another. Much progress has been made. We need to celebrate that, and we need to remember that. And we can do more, and we will do more. I would also say to the young, most of the protesters are young. Most of the rioters are young. I would just say to the young, channel your zeal with wisdom and understanding, not anger. It's okay to be angry, but there's a reason the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. There's a reason that God says deal with your anger quickly. It's not a religious rule. It's for our benefit, because when anger is not dealt with appropriately, it becomes rage and wrath and leads to violence and inappropriate things. And that's why he says, you know, in the verses I read to you earlier in James, don't be quick to anger. And anger never leads to the righteousness of God or righteous solutions. It's a form of venting. It opens the pressure valve, and we can let out anger and go ahead and feel it and let it spew in the right way, but it's not supposed to dictate our activity. So I would just say to the young, channel that into good action and try to channel your zeal with wisdom and understanding. And to the old, to those, I hate to call myself old, but to those of us that are older, appreciate the zeal of the young. I appreciate the zeal, the vision, the passion of the young people in our nation to make a difference, to want to change injustice. It's a good thing. I appreciate it. But you have to, we have to appreciate that and help channel it. And they have to do it with not emotion, but truth. We don't get to the right in situations like this to exaggerate through our anger. All cops are not bad. Nation is not bad. Our roots are not all bad. You don't get the right to exaggerate just because you're angry. You still have to operate with truth. And we older folks, we have to love them and appreciate them and help keep the connection there so we can bring wisdom to the table, to both age groups and to different races and ethnicities. I say work together. We can fix these things if we work together. And to all, I would say, walk in love and forgiveness. You don't get the right biblically to choose who you'll forgive. I'm sorry, but you don't. And sometimes you have to work through the pain and anger, but you still have to forgive. And if you walk in bitterness, the Bible says many are defiled by that bitterness. You've watched that on TV this week and last week. You've watched many be defiled by bitterness. And one generation, if they don't deal with their pain appropriately, they pass their bitterness on. It becomes bitterness and they pass it on to the next generation. And when you watch people burning buildings and hurting other people and looting, you're watching lawlessness and bitterness. And it's never right. I don't care what happened. It's not right. And so the only way to be free of the pain is through forgiveness. And the only way to build a new future is through forgiveness. And when you release a person by forgiving them, a person that has wronged you, the Bible says in Luke 6:37 that God then can release you. He releases you from the pain. He releases you from the scarring. But the only way to be released is to release the person that hurt you. That doesn't mean they go free and get away with it. It means you leave the judging to God. And he will, and at times, to civil authority. We leave the judging to them, and we forgive. Forgiving doesn't mean you excuse. Forgiving doesn't mean that you're saying this person did nothing wrong, or that they should get away with it. It simply means I release them from what they did, in the sense that I don't judge them. I'm going to allow those that have been raised up and for that purpose to judge, and I'm going to let God also judge. I'm not going to do it. I forgive. And we walk in love. And by the way, I'm not saying that people have to do something I have not had to do. I've had to forgive people that I hated. And it took quite some time for God to show me that I could do that through a decision. I didn't have to do it through an emotional process. I did it by deciding to do it based on truth, not on how I felt. And when I chose to forgive, the pain didn't immediately go away. The fact that I didn't like those people didn't immediately go away. The fact that I knew they wronged me didn't go away. I just chose to do it because of truth. God's word is truth. And it was amazing that after maintaining that decision, even when tempted to let go of it, it enabled God to heal me of all the pain. All of the pain. And that's what I would say to people in America. If you'll forgive, if you'll choose to love and forgive, he will heal the pain. And only God can do that. So we're going to have to walk in love and forgiveness, and we can. And lastly, I would say we pray. We continue to cry out for revival, for a third great awakening in America. That's not a cop-out. It infuriates me when people say, you can keep your thoughts and prayers, they mean nothing. Well, they're just ignorant. If you say that, you're ignorant. Prayers do mean something. And we should work for laws good laws and legislation, and they are good. They're good and necessary. But racism, for example, in all forms, is a heart issue. I say to people that think they can heal this nation through good laws, how's that working for you? We've been trying to do it through laws and legislation and the right words for 200 years or more. How's that working? It's not working because until the root is dealt with, the fruit will continue. And the root is in the heart. And this nation needs a revival, and it needs to be a revival of not only salvation, but a revival of love. If we have a true revival, awakening in this nation, hearts will change, and we'll begin to love one another. And only God can change the heart. So we need to cry out for a revival. I've been telling people for 25, 30 years now, the only hope for America is revival. I don't mean a small revival, I mean a great awakening. It's the only hope for America. But God's going to give us an awakening. He's going to bring this level of revival. And when this one comes, we've reached a point of healing in our nation to where the next great awakening can bring us together as never before. We can come together racially. We can come together generationally. We can see things occur that we've never been able to see occur before in this next revival. So cry out for that, and don't let anything get in the way of it. It's coming. We're going to experience it. Keep crying out for that. And the last thing I would say is, you pray for God to raise up true statesmen and women, leaders who can address these issues with wisdom. Whole leaders. What do I mean by that? I mean people who aren't carrying unforgiveness and bitterness and anger. People that have worked through the injustice that they received and can speak now with a voice of love, a voice of wisdom, a voice of wise strategy. Those are the voices that'll bring healing, not the voices that rant and rave and try to draw a following because they get up and lash out at white people or black people. Those people will never heal anything. All they do is defile many with their bitterness. We don't need bitter leaders, angry leaders, self-serving leaders. We need whole, healed, mature, wise leaders that can sit at the table together and that can speak to the nation in a way that can bring healing. Pray for that type of leader to emerge. They're out there. God has worked them, formed, shaped them. I believe they're ready and that God is going to highlight them. I pray, honestly, that he removes the voice of those that don't meet those qualifications. I cringe when I hear people with a broad voice and a lot of influence that I can tell are bitter, that have hatred and a bone to pick. They do nothing to heal. All they do is further divide us. I pray for God to take away their voice. If they have churches, I pray God take away their big churches. If they have large followings, I pray that God takes away their followings and their income sources and raises up people with his heart, which is to come together, to walk in love, to work together. That can even talk about divisive issues without allowing it to divide. That can talk about painful issues in a way that results in healing, not just venting. And so pray for God to raise up this type of people and leaders. Pray for our president that he will speak with wisdom, not do things to agitate. And pray against the leaders in our government that take advantage of situations like this to further divide us. Can you think of anything more despicable that political leaders take events such as this, that people with influence in Hollywood and elsewhere take advantage of situations like this to divide us. It's just beyond evil. Pray against them. Pray that they lose their influence. And pray that the peacemakers would be given favor and that they would rise up. We need them desperately right now. Pray that God gives them a voice. And so let's just end this podcast with a prayer. And wherever you are, just agree with me. Lord, we do pray for the family of this man, Mr. Floyd, who was so senselessly killed. Lord, and I pray for the Black community that has had just one more thing that has reopened past wounds and caused them to feel pain and anger. But I do pray for them, Lord, that they will grieve appropriately and that they will turn their anger into something good, not something violent. And I pray, Lord, against the racism in this nation, from wherever it comes and to whomever, regardless of to whom it goes, I pray against it. It's a spirit. It's a principality. It's a part of the kingdom of darkness that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I pray against it. I pray that you help us in this season pull down this giant. Lord, whether it's against the Jew, the Black man, the Latino, the Asian, or the white, or anyone else, I pray against it, and I pray that you help us in this season dethrone the spirit over our nation and elsewhere. I pray that you give us wisdom to do that. I pray, Lord, that you would even give us angelic hope to do it, but also angels to help deal with the anger that exists now, Lord. Just send angelic help to bring peace. So you have messenger angels. Let messenger angels be released to bring wisdom and to help bring understanding. And Lord, give us voices that can address this issue and address it in a way that helps people understand we do feel your pain. We may not feel what you feel, but we understand that you have this pain and we're sorry you have this pain. Bring us leaders that can address it, but at the same time can bring wisdom and strategy for change. I know you have these people ready, Lord. Release them. Give them to us. Give them favor. Give them a voice. Remove the voice of those that use these events to further hatred and division. And Lord, I pray for a third great awakening in America that will awaken the conscience of a nation and baptize us in love and kindness and mercy, one toward another, everyone, that we would find ourselves preferring one another, giving to the poor, helping the poor, not just helping them in their poverty, but helping them out of their poverty. Lord, bringing us together through a revival in a way that we can reach the lost, but also reform a nation. That's what I'm praying for. That's what many are praying for. And I pray for that. Once again, we come into agreement for this. And we bind the strong man. We bind this spirit of hatred, and evil, division, racism over our nation. We say you will not continue to rule America. You will be brought down. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will be brought down. Lord, finally, I just pray a prayer of blessing over those listening to me, hearing this podcast, that they would be comforted in this time. I pray, Lord, for those that have lost businesses, livelihoods, through the violence, through the virus, that they would be encouraged and comforted, and that you would help turn things around. I pray, Lord, for those that have experienced racism, been targeted senselessly in ways that are humiliating, that they would be healed, that they would be able to forgive, release those that have harmed them, give them the understanding that they need to know they do it based on truth, not how they feel. They leave it with you. Give them grace to do that, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. I pray for everyone listening that they will find strength in this hour and that they will remain strong in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for giving me some of your time. I bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Dutch Sheets Ministries. If you would like more information about us, or if you've been impacted by this podcast and would like to sow into the ministry, please visit our website at dutchsheets.org.